45, a meal was 40 cents. A Cadillac was a car to drive, and Ike was president. A revival settled the towns ablaze while mom, the dad, and the kids. I said, Holy Ghost electrified by a wild evangelist. But nothing could compare, none took me quite as high. Being at the tent and hearing people testify.
And they say, I want to give honor unto God, bishops, pastors, elders, praise God, I'm in my right mind too. Well, I'm determined to go 100% with Jesus, because 99.5 just won't do. I say, please pray I'll be the one that's calling for it in these last evil days. He's been better than me than I've been to myself, and I give God all the praise. Once all this had ended, up to the microphone, the man of God himself, strong, alone, and prone, with a furnace in his eyes, and no time left to play, this human locomotive right there began to say, I believe in a God that sets the captive free. I believe in the blood that flows from Calvary. Does anyone love Jesus? Does anyone hate sin? Does anyone believe that Christ is coming back again? But what God wants me to ask you, what he needs to know most, are you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost?
Oh, yeah. Let me hear that choir say. Oh, that's right.
Roberts, William Branham, Jack Cole, and Billy Graham. Heal body, soul, and spirit as they thundered across the land. While Howdy Doody held the nation captive on TV, the power of God was on these men to set those captive free. But nothing could compare, none took me quite as high as being at the tent and hearing people testify.
They say, I want to give honor unto God, mother's missionary, saints, and all my friends. Lord, I've been saved all day, living free and separated from sin. I got life, health, strength, wouldn't take nothing from my journey. Pray the Lord keep me strong. Woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus, and I've been praising him all day long.
Once all this had ended, up to the microphone, stepped the man of God himself, strong, alone, and prone. But with a furnace in his eyes, and no time left to play, this human locomotive right there began to say, free. I believe in the blood that flows from Calvary. Does anyone love Jesus? Does anyone hate sin? Does anyone believe that Christ is coming back again? But what God wants me to ask you, what he needs to know most, are you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost?
Let me hear a little guitar picking now.
That was Carmen.
He was a singer in the 80s and I believe early 90s, Christian singer, very, very creative. And I hope that you are blessed by him. Hey, this is Pastor Matthew. We are spending an hour focused on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope you're having a good day. I really do. I'm glad to be here on this wonderful program. Let's get right to it as we enjoy a little more music from Carmen. We're going to be in John chapter 19 today in our Bible study. But let me pray, and then let's be off to the horses and really focus on the horse hope, not the horse, the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, I got to give a shout out to my number one listener out there, Ray in Accutane. I hope you're having a good day, Ray, and we look forward to your comment or question you gave me this week. Let's get right to it. And if you wanted to get a hold of me for a question, I'd love to give you a shout out. Or if you had a family member, somebody you wanted me to shout out, I'd be glad to do that. It's MATHEWVROMAN@gmail.com. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for this time. This would be a great radio program. People would be encouraged, excited. Thank you for the musical legacy of Carmen. And I just praise you for how I went to a few of his concerts and was very blessed. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get right to it with another from Carmen.
When I was just a little kid, I saw a scary movie about a crazy lunatic, you see. He tried to kill these people on vacation with an axe, then I'd imagine that this dude was after me. Well, laying in my bed that night, afraid and wide awake, I promise you I saw a shadow move. But when I felt an evil spirit, that was it. I knew right then exactly what to do. I took authority in Christ. All fear flew away. I stood bold as a lion and ran it off when it heard me say,
"Don't want no monsters in my house to have. Don't want no monsters in my house. You won't hear me screaming, you're nothing but a demon. It's time for you to go now. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I'm protected by the Lord.
There's this creepy guy, the Alligator Man. I watch him as he chases and he hunts this peaceful family through the woods with only one thing on his mind. He wants to eat their little kid for lunch. I got so weirded out, I couldn't sleep. Then it happened. An evil spirit floated by my bed. I could hardly believe the nerve of this little punk demon. I thought, hey, all right, that's it. You're dead. I got righteously indignant. I was going to make that demon pay. The anointing came upon me. I chased it out when it heard me say,
"What did you say? Don't want no monsters in my house tonight. Don't want no monsters in my house. You won't get me screaming. You're nothing but a demon. Look, it's time for you to go now. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Tonight!
That was No Monsters and Faith Enough by the Christian singer Carmen. He's actually passed in the last, I believe, 10 years. I'm so glad you're with me. When I was in college, I got to go hear Carmen, and he would do an amazing concert. It would be story songs, as you've heard, and you're going to hear more. His vocals, his charisma was amazing, and he never charged for his concert. He did a love donation, but they were incredible, and such a great, great memory of that time. As I mentioned, I'm Pastor Matthew, and this is the Hour of Hope, and we focus on who Jesus is on this wonderful radio program. In John chapter 19, and we're going to be doing the Bible study later, you want to make sure you're ready for that, Ray. Get your Bible open. Ray's become somebody that's very affectionate to me. I really like him. He encouraged me with the radio program. I'd love to hear from you as well. But he had a great, great question. I got to remember what it is, but it was a really good question. And I think Ray is a blessing to me, and I know he's a blessing to those that know him. We're in John chapter 19, and it's going to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus. Are you ready? He's been arrested. He's with Pilate. He's under trial. And now we're going to lead into so much more about the pre-crucifixion of Jesus, if you can believe that. We're going to look at just a few verses. We'll get to that in a minute. But how about a little more music? So we all get scared of Satan sometimes and his demon. If we know Christ, we don't have to be scared. Carmen loved to sing about the victory and the spiritual warfare we have in Jesus Christ and how we have victory. One of his songs is Witch's Invitation. And if you're somebody that's scared of spirits, scared of magic, you need to listen to this if you're a Christian, because this song captures so well our authority we have in Christ. And we don't need to run around and try to confront demons, but when the enemy comes to attack us, we can stand in the name of Jesus Christ. If you trusted him, you believe him, not church Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's get right to that song right now, and you're going to enjoy Witch's Invitation.
Brother Mario, there was a rumor many years ago that there was a song called The Witch's Invitation, and that it dealt with an actual experience that you had encountered. Is that true?
Absolutely true. I was doing a chapel service at ORU, and the guest singer that day was Carmen, and he was at the piano, and Oral Roberts was there. Can you imagine? That was a crew that day. And so I was about to preach, and Carmen sang a song, and then he decided to stay at the piano. And I began to tell the story of Isaac Bonwitz. Now, he was called Isaac Horowitz in the video, but Isaac Bonwitz is a real person who was one of the only people to get an accredited Bachelor of Arts degree from UC Berkeley with a major in witchcraft. And he had a house with the walls painted black. He had every form of magic, witchcraft, sorcery. And one day I met him on the streets. He had a full-length crepe robe on, crepe velvet, and he was carrying a human skull, and he had a sword.
Well, that stands out.
And he walked up. Yeah, he came up to me, and I was witnessing on the streets of Berkeley, and he handed me his card, and he said, "I'd like you to come visit me one day, because I'd like to compare Christianity with witchcraft." So I took the card, and it had strange artwork on it, and I laughed, went home, forgot about it. Then I got a letter, just like in the video that Carmen did. And that letter had the decorations on it, and it said, "I'd like to meet with you." And so I decided to crumple it up and throw it away in the wastebasket. And as the wad of paper was in the air, God said, "I want you to go." Mm-hmm. And that's when I went up to his house that looked like the Adams family. And I went through the gate, went in, and he put me in this overstuffed chair, and he gave me some kind of tea with stuff floating on top of it. And so I avoided drinking it. And then he came out with a massive leather-bound book, and he was talking about all the people that he had cursed, people that he had used incantations, potions, and all this stuff. And then he came in front of the chair, put the leather-bound book, closed it up, put it on my lap, and then leaned on the arms and brought his face near mine, and he said, "What can your God do that compares with this?" And I want to tell you, I got nothing. I had nothing. I was like, you know, I was a blank sheet of paper. And I looked up to God, and I repented. I said, "Lord, forgive me for being an embarrassment." And when I said that, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And God said, "Do not put me to a stupid test." And the devil has as much potential to stand against God as an amoeba has to survive on the surface of the sun.
Come on.
And I sat there thinking, well, then what do you want me to compare? And that's when it downloaded. I looked at Isaac and I said, "I'm not going to compare God and the devil. That's not a comparison, but I will compare you and me." And he looked at me kind of quizzically and I said, "I'm going to compare you and I on the day we die. I'm going to put me in my deathbed, and I want to imagine you in your deathbed." And I said, "You look around these walls and you have made covenants with darkness. You've made so many agreements with so many devils, and they all own markers. They have a right to you. You've given them that right. And on the day you die, they're going to come for you. And I wonder which of these things in this book you're going to say out loud to stop them." And I threw the book at him, literally. And I said, "I know what I'm going to say. Satan, you cannot have me. I've been washed in the blood of Christ. I am saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony." And he got so angry, he backed off and he was grabbing the leather book like it was a security blanket. And he said, "You must leave now. You said, you've got to get out now." And he threw me out. And, you know, he had wives. And one of his wives got saved.
Really?
And later, yeah, one of Isaac's wives got saved. And she later contacted us and said, that was the most terrifying experience of his life. And I love it the way Carmen added, he added his own line on the end. He said, "Next time, think twice before you rumble with a man of God." That didn't happen, but it looked good on the video.
That's amazing. I've never known that. It's always been a favorite of mine. And then, of course, you've always been one of my favorite ministers. And to put those two together, it was truly a dream come true. Thank you so much for sharing that.
To God be the glory, my friend.
Yes, to God be all the glory.
That's a total true story.
One peaceful afternoon, I picked up from my mailbox the strangest looking letter I'd ever seen. A chilling little envelope bordered with flying bats and eerie serpents whose eyes were tinted green. The letter was addressed to me, so as I opened it, I froze. What I read turned my complexion three shades of blue. It said, "My name is Isaac Horowitz. I'm a male witch, a warlock. I feel I need to spend some time with you." Now, as a Christian from a little church with God's call on my life, a man of faith and power with a challenge to grow, I did what any saint would do in my situation. I tore it up, said, "Lord, no way I'm gonna go." Then gently and methodically, the Holy Spirit spoke and reminded me, we're God's voice to our nation. It's the church's responsibility to witness. So reluctantly, I accepted this witch's invitation. He had the house you'd expect, the old English cottage, a Nightmare on Elm Street special right to the core, the overgrown ivy, the gate that creaked when opened. Somehow you'd expect Freddy to answer this door. The doorbell rang, a hollow gong. The knob twisted, then opened. And Isaac stood. stood before me with a grin. His jet black hair and well-trimmed beard flowed with his black silk clothes. My skin crawled as he said, "Please, come on in." His house was filled with every occultic symbol you could fathom. Hanging pentagrams, horoscope signs, a Ouija board and Dungeons and Dragons game set on the table, a crystal ball with an incandescent shine, and graciously he handed me some steaming herbal tea. Its presence caused my memory to jog. I thought of every horror flick I'd seen when I was a kid and thought, man, you drink this stuff next day, you'll be a frog. Then he led me to a high back chair as he meticulously began to unfold his scenario with evil patience. I was given a giant leather-bound book jammed with newspaper clippings, thus the reason for this witch's invitation. With eagerness, he pointed to each article with pride. He said, "I healed this woman through a Babylonian chant. You see, this man, I cured him while performing druid worship. I was paid to curse this man with AIDS by his aunt." On and on, page after page, delightfully he flaunted each incident for an hour without a breath. He said, "Do you realize through my understanding of the dark regions that I can make you rich or even curse someone to death?" I sat literally intimidated by his immensity and demon power, while his face shone with a satanic arrogant bliss. Then placing his hands on the arms of my chair and leaning into my face, he said, "What can your God do to compete with this?" I knew then how Moses felt when his rod turned to a serpent, and the three Egyptian magicians did the same. It's as if you're sitting there in that stunned moment where your faith gets violated, and all you feel is weak, powerless, and lame. I desperately and deeply prayed, saying, "Jesus, give me wisdom. I don't want to put you through some foolish test." Then a shaft of light shot through my soul, igniting my eyes with fire. God stood me up, and I threw the book back in his chest. I said, "Isaac, I'll not compare God's miracles versus Satan's. The issue's not God's kingdom and Satan's lair. The real comparison is the condition of your soul and the condition of mine, and you puppet of the devil, that I will compare." I said, "My friend, one day they're coming for you. The soft associates in your incantations, the friendly demons you think you now control. The time will come when you'll be lying in bed, wheezing like a dying animal, when those spirits lay claim to the rights they own to your soul. Then the room will grow dark, and the most hideous evil faces you've ever seen will come flaming out of the floor with a yell. The vile informants that promised reincarnation will claw your spirit and victoriously drag your soul to hell." Then I grabbed the book and says, "In that moment, which mantra, which incantation are you gonna chant to tell them to leave you alone?" I said, "My friend, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt what I would say. I am bought with the blood of Jesus. Let me go." I said, "Isaac, when you tossed that book in my lap, you gloated with a sinister victory. You rejoiced when you saw your name in black and white. Now I rejoice, but not that your council of demons are subject to Jesus, but that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Then Isaac jumped up from his chair and screamed, "You must leave now!" I says, "I will, but one last obligation. Next time, think twice before you rumble with a man of God. And by the way, thanks for your witch's invitation."
How about we go back to cowboy times with Carmen as he does this song, Satan Bite the Dust. Imagine he's riding in on a horse, goes into the cowboy bar, slams shut, and there's all these vile kids at the cowboy times, and there's Satan, and he's going to deal with him in a great confrontation called Satan Bite the Dust. Put yourself back to cowboy times, and let's enjoy this song from Carmen. Remember, stand in the authority you have in Jesus Christ.
Shut it down. I'm hunting for someone, y'all. He's a lion, thieving rattlesnake, and he's broken every law. He's terrorized the lives of men, and he's under arrest because I've been sent with a warrant from the body of Christ.
Well, tell me why it's there, dear.
Satan, bite the dust. One of you unclean spirits, I'm running you out of town. Depression, strife, disease, and fear, your posse's going down.
Oh, last dinner for the dog, Batman. We sent him over the box.
But I know who I am through Jesus Christ, so I talk to you demons like dogs. Satan, you coward, you molester of souls, I command you to appear. You're hiding from the presence of God, but I can feel your fear from here.
You rattle my keyboard long enough, you got something in your craw.
A praying church wants you to know.
No way.
Your kingdom's gonna fall.
There's gonna be trouble here tonight.
Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian of today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. A message to deliver from one who's true and just. We'll spit in your eye, you father of lies, and Satan, bite the dust.
Boy, you're gonna take me on and my unholy herd.
Not only take you on, but take you out by the Spirit and the Word. One by one you'll drop like flies underfoot and in the ground, because greater is he who is in me than the snake I'm staring down. You demon of alcoholism, you'll be the first to go. There's deliverance from you through Jesus Christ, so hit the road. You spirit of infirmity, you ain't welcome here no more. We lay hands on the sick and they recover, so out the door. You demon of false religion, you've preyed on minds so simple. I bind the spirit of your song, so now come on! Play that in your temple. Now, Satan, you're next in line. I'm gonna hit you where it hurts. Cause I'm tired of you and my family. And I'm tired of you and my church. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled man. And I'm tolling the bell of your eternal destruction across the land. Cause I represent a whole new breed of Christian of today. And I'm authorized and deputized to blow you clean away. I've got a weapon with two bullets that overcome all sin and crud. One bullet is called the word of my testimony, and the other one's called the blood. Satan, bite the dust. Bite the dust. Well, how do you feel about that, devil?
I'm a feeling mighty low.
Good.
No monsters in my house tonight. No other monsters in my house. You won't get me screaming. You're nothing but a demon. It's time for you to go now. I have a temple of the Holy Ghost.
I hope that was encouraging to you. What an amazing singer. Carmen actually was saved. He was singing in Vegas, I guess, and that's where he refined his theatrical skills, and then he got saved. And God used his powerful voice. Well, we're in John chapter 19. I've been going through the book of John, and I'm glad you're with me. Get open your Bible, or open your Bible right now, John 19. Let me read it to you. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. Scourging was where they took an individual, they tied him to or strapped him down, and then on his back, they would whip him, and at the end of it would be metal balls or little shrapnels of bone, and basically as they ripped him, his back became more and more bruised and eventually shredded open. A couple things about the, well, let's pray first. Lord, as we get into this meditation on the cross of Christ, I pray you'd make it so real. I ask you, Lord, to change our mind about it, make it just hit us in a powerful way and touch us. And if we don't know you, we'd come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the scourging, Jesus is whipped over and over and over again. Pilate has him scourged. Pilate didn't care about the Jews. He didn't care about Jesus. He was a ruthless man, but he just wanted peace. The scourging, a couple things about it. When man fell in Genesis 3:15, God gives a prophecy. First prophecy in the Bible, it says, "And I will put enmity," hatred, "between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The bruising, the heel, is a non-lethal wound. So right here we see that Jesus gets a non-lethal wound. Next, we see that when they ate the fruit and sinned, it was a physical way sin came in. Here, we're seeing the reversals of that, where the physical beating of Jesus begins the process of reversing and paying for sin. And then we see again where sin entered the world through physical, Jesus' flesh ripped open or torn. So he's scourged. He's all, his back's all torn apart. Next, let's move on. And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns. A crown of thorns. And these would be heavy thorns dug into his skull, ripping the flesh there. Well, in Genesis 3, verse number 18, it says this: "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the flesh." So thorns symbolize the curse of sin, and they were really the fruit of sin. So when Jesus has this crown of thorns, he's taking on the curse of sin upon himself. It's very visual. Adam, the thorns and thistles, well, now Jesus takes on those thorns. Now there's more. Let's look at this. "And they put on him a purple robe." The robe was, they were mocking him, bringing shame to him. He took on the item of shame. Well, what did happen when Adam and Eve sinned? They felt shame. There wasn't shame. Now they felt shame. And so Jesus is taking on man's shame. "And said, Hail, King of the Jews." They're mocking his dominion. And notice what happens then. "And they smote him with their hands." That's repeated blows is what that means. They kept hitting him in their head all around with the palm of their hand. So you can imagine he's very much bruised in his back and blood's pouring down from his head. And then all around, he's just a bloody mess. Something about this: blows from the offspring of Satan or fallen man against the seed of woman. Adam, and they say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Well, Adam wanted to be king. He wanted to live apart from God's dominion. And now Jesus takes on Adam's rebellion in the sense of here. He's taking on that. And then also, another thing that I thought was interesting, when they said, "Peter Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold," in Genesis 3:22 it says, "Behold, they become like one of us." Behold, he says, the man, the second Adam. Behold, do we process who we are seeing right now? Jesus. Behold this man. He's a man who's dying for our sins. He's a man who's dying for our shame. He's a man that's taking on the cross, the curse of humanity. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw it, they cried again, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Crucification was the worst way to die. They wanted Jesus to suffer. Pilate saith unto him, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." He was a sinless sacrifice. They had to have a sinless sacrifice for him to be acceptable in the law. Then the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Obviously, Jesus is pure. He has no sin. But they wanted him to sin. Jesus taking on the sin, the penalty of sin, he's taking upon himself for us. I think of people out there right now, and I think again of Ray's question a week ago. He asked me about the division on the earth. Well, the division comes from sin, and the division comes from people that don't understand that Jesus paid for sin. In John 19:17, and the religious leaders invoked the law to demand death. They were unknowingly acting as the voice of the law against Adam, because by the law we deserve death. Because Jesus was the second Adam, the law did not require his death, not for his own sin, but because he had taken on the likeness of sinful flesh. The cry, "Crucify him," is the echo of the death sentence passed in the Garden of Eden, finally landing on the substitute. And then, of course, they say he made himself the Son of God. The tempter tempted Adam and Eve by saying, "You shall be gods." Remember in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve fell? Well, Adam, a mere man, tried to make himself like God through rebellion and was cursed. Jesus, who was the Son of God, made himself a man and was cursed for it. Jesus was being put to death for the very thing Adam tried to do. Adam tried to assert divinity. Jesus humbled himself, his divinity, by dying under the accusations of being the Son of God. He restored the ability for us to become the sons of God. That's beautiful. We have such a beautiful picture, and we haven't even gotten to the crucifixion yet. There's more, but of what Jesus did for us. I want you to listen to a psalm. This isn't Carmen, but it communicates what we've just read so clearly. His life or mine? Let me ask you a question. Have you trusted Jesus Christ?
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine. How could it ever be that he would die? God's Son would die to save a wretch like me. What love divine, he gave his life for mine. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His son would die to save a wretch like me. Once love divine, he gave his life for mine. He was despised and rejected, stripped of his garment.
Thank you. The Old Rugged Cross, such a famous hymn, and that was Carmen again singing The Old Rugged Cross. I hope that you have been encouraged this week in this program, and it'll get you going to remind yourself that Jesus died for your sins. Have you believed in him? Have you genuinely trusted him? I'm Pastor Matthew, the pastor of Safe Harbor Church. We're going to finish off with a song, probably Carmen's most famous song, The Champion. You will be blessed. Set down and get ready for showing Jesus as the champion. Before we do that, I'd like to close in prayer. If you would like to proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ, pray with me. Tell God, say, Lord, I do believe that you died for me. I do believe you rose from the dead. I proclaim that I am a true believer in Jesus Christ. I want to know you so much. I want to make a difference for you. Help me with the areas I'm struggling with in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the singer was Carmen, and you have listened to so much of his music. The one other song was His Life for Mine, which was not Carmen. Enjoy the champion. Jesus is the champion. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's returning. Let's make sure we are ready for him. Do you believe? I hope you do. Amen and amen. Let's get right to it. The champion.
Expanse of a timeless place where silence ruled the outer space. Ominously towering, it stood, the symbol of a spirit war between the one named Lucifer and the morning star, the ultimate of good. Enveloped by a trillion planets, clean as lightning and hard as granite, a cosmic coliseum would host the end of the war between the Lord of sin and death and the omnipotent creator of man's first breath, who will decide who forever will be the champion.
Of power like silent thunder rolled. With the surge of light beyond intense, illuminating the universe in resplendent glory, appeared the Son of God. God the Father will oversee the doom. Opening the book of life, each grandstand hushed in awe, as majestically he said, "Now here's the rules." He'll be wounded for their transgressions, bruised for iniquities. When he said, "By his stripes they're healed," the devil shook. He screams,
"Sickness is my specialty. I hate that healing junk."
God said, "You shut your face, I wrote the book." Then the Father looked at his only Son and said, "You know the rules. Your blood will cleanse their sin and calm their fears." Then he pointed his finger at Satan and said, "And I know you know the rules. You've been twisting them to deceive my people for years." Satan cried,
"I'll kill you, Christ. You will never win this fight."
The demons wheezed,
"That's right. There ain't no way."
Satan jeered,
"You're dead, baby Jesus. I'm gonna bust you up tonight."
Jesus said, "Go ahead. Make my day." Devils roared in victory, the saints shocked and perplexed, as wounds appeared upon his hands and feet. Then Satan kicked him in his side, and blood and water flowed, and they waited for the 10 count of defeat. God the Father turned his head, his tears announcing Christ was dead. The 10 count would proclaim the battle's end. Then Satan trembled through his sweat in unexpected horror. Yet, as God started the count by saying, 10.
Hey, wait a minute, God.
9.
You're counting wrong.
8.
His eyes.
7.
His fingers are twitching.
6.
With all this light coming from.
5.
He's alive.
4.
Oh, yeah. 3. Oh, yes. 2. He has won. He has won. He's alive forevermore. He is risen. He is Lord. He has won. He has won. He's alive forevermore. He is risen. He is Lord. Proclaim the news in every tongue, beyond. Let it be voiced from mountains, loud and strong. Captivity has been set free, salvation bought for you and me, 'cause Satan is defeated.